Morning, Flood Church. It's a little loud. My name is Zach. I serve as one of the members on the teaching team here at Flood Church, and it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning to open the Word of God. If you're here for the first time, welcome. We are starting a new series, and it's titled Here and Healing. Here and Healing. So basically, what Here and Healing is a message or a series of messages where we're talking about embracing where you are, which is here, and trusting God for healing while you're at it. So you're here and embracing that situation that you're in, but not only staying there, but we're also trusting God for healing in those situations. And as we go on, we'll look at a bunch of different topics, which will be heart-to-heart topics. We'll look at abuse, we'll look at addiction, and we'll have people from the church as well that are going to be sharing, and we'll have videos that we're going to watch of people from this church talking about how they overcame the different stuff that they went through. But today, I'll start us off talking about experiencing God's healing in guilt and regret. Experiencing God's healing in guilt and regret. And we'll look at 2 Corinthians 7, starting from verse 8 to 12. 2 Corinthians 7, starting from verse 8 to 12. I'll ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. If you don't have it, it will be on the screen so you can follow. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8 reads, "Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What eagerness, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did wrong, nor on the account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see yourselves, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for each and every person that is here and watching. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to us, and Holy Spirit, may you reveal your word to us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may take our seats. So I work for an organization called Young Life. So basically, what Young Life is, it's a Christian organization that reaches out to teenagers in schools and neighborhoods. So most of our workforce is made up of people who are volunteers. And I am an area director, and I have 8 team leaders who are volunteers. And those team leaders have other leaders that they also supervise. One of the things that has been the hardest thing for me to do, as my previous boss used to say, it's really hard for me to have hard conversations with people. Because we have volunteer leaders, some of them will get a job, and then probably the time that they were having to serve will probably be reduced, and they'll not serve as best as we expect them to be. Or maybe they just tied up with other things and they're not serving as we would love it to be. And then it comes a time where, as their leader, I have to have that hard conversation with them and tell them, we actually love that you're serving with us, but maybe you should serve in another capacity. Maybe serve on the prayer team. A lot of kids struggle to find money to pay for camp. Maybe serve in that capacity where you raise money for them so that they can go to camp. And it's really hard for me because it feels like I'm firing them from a job that they're doing to serve God. So every time I want to do that or I have to do that, I feel really bad and I feel guilty about doing this. But sometimes that is what is needed to happen, because if we don't let them go, they'll probably just occupy space where someone would have stepped up and actually have served better than them. So every time I get to do that, I always feel bad and I always feel guilty and regret it. And it reminds me of Paul in this passage. So Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. So basically, the church in Corinth was going through a rough patch. And Paul sat down and wrote a letter to them. They were in a sinful patch. And Paul decided to write a letter to them concerning their sins. But as Paul was writing this letter, he was filled with remorse because he didn't know how the people who are going to receive the letter are going to take it. He probably thought maybe writing this letter will actually make things worse. So he felt guilty for a little bit. But when he got the response from the people, he was actually really happy. He wasn't happy because these people had felt sorry, no. But because why he was writing that letter, the reason why God sent him to write that letter, was actually achieved. And today I want us to look at two truths that will help us in our journey in finding healing over guilt and regret. Two truths that will help us in finding healing over truth, over guilt and regret. And the first truth that we see is that godly sorrow leads us to repentance. Godly sorrow leads us to repentance. And we see this in verse 8 to 10. It says, even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so we are not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So when Paul was writing this, he didn't know what to expect from the other side. And he was filled with sorrow because he was filled with remorse because he thought maybe it might make things worse. But in fact, I need to write this because this is what God has sent me to do. Many of us find ourselves in a situation where we are regretting or feeling some sort of guilt. Not maybe because God has corrected us, but maybe because of just some despair that we have in our hearts. Or maybe we are sorry because we got caught. Or maybe we're just sorry because we want to manipulate the other person. But godly sorrow is different from that. Godly sorrow is one that leaves us in a place where we know that we are wrong, but it only just doesn't leave us there. Godly sorrow leaves us in a place where we realize our faults and make a decision to turn back from that. Repentance is you walking in one direction and realizing your fault and turning around, going the other direction. Because godly sorrow, at its fullest, will bring you to a place of repentance. I know the title of the sermon series is Here and Healing. Yes, we are here. But God doesn't want us just to remain here. I know we're in different stages of this journey of healing. I know we're in different stages of whether it's guilt or regret. But God doesn't want to leave you there. Just because you're here doesn't mean you should settle there. God is saying, yes, you are there. I welcome you with all your brokenness. I welcome you with that hurt that you have. But I'm not willing to leave you there. And God wants you to find healing. So you are here, yes. But there's also something that God wants from you. And it's for your heart to be repentant of the sin that you committed. So God is calling each and every one of us to say, yes, I know you are here. I know you're broken. I know that person wronged you. Or I know you spoke really badly about a certain person or did something wrong. And you feel guilty. And you regret those words that you said. But I don't want you to remain there. Because godly sorrow, at its fullest, will have us turning from our wicked ways and looking back to him. Godly sorrow will lead us to repentance. And Paul also gives another view of worldly sorrow. And he says worldly sorrow will bring death. It reminds me of a story in the New Testament as well, where Judas, who was one of Jesus' disciples, decided to betray Jesus for a few silver coins. So Judas betrays Jesus. Everything happens. Later on, as he goes on with his life, he realizes that I actually made a mistake. And he regrets the decision that he made. And it literally led to his death. So maybe sometimes worldly sorrow might lead us to a literal death. Or maybe it might lead us to a figurative death, where it's your heart that is dying because of sin. But God doesn't want to leave you there. God wants to take you out of that and help you grow. Maybe that's what we need, to realize that maybe this sorrow is here for us to turn back from our wicked ways and look back to him. Because godly sorrow should lead us to repentance. The second truth that we notice is sorrow should lead us to a change in spirituality. Godly sorrow should lead us to a change in spirituality. And we see this starting from verse 10 to 11. No, actually 11 to 12. It says, see what godly sorrow has produced in you. What eagerness, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of one who did wrong, nor on the account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. So a lot of us Christians, we get these two words mixed up most of our times, confession and repentance. So confession is me knowing that I have sinned against God, and I take full responsibility of that sin, and I come to God and say, God, I have sinned against you, and I fully accept that this is my fault. But now repentance is you recognizing that you have sinned, owning up to your mistakes, and turning. The church in Corinth didn't just say, we have made a mistake. No, but we see these seven things that have been listed that they changed because they realized the sin that they were in, they realized their fault, and realized that God was expecting a lot more from them. And when they realized that, they turned from their sins and we're looking back to God. And maybe that's what we need. Because most of the times we are fooled by the phrase, come as you are. And we get comfortable in that phrase, that we come as we are, and we stay the same, and actually settle in that sin. Because Jesus said to me, come as you are. And I'm actually coming as I am. And now I sin today. I confess about, oh, I stole this thing or I said these bad words to this person. And tomorrow it's the same thing. Why? Because Jesus said, come as you are and I'm coming as I am. But God is calling us to not just confess our sins, But he's expecting us, as we confess our sins, we should also turn back from our ways toward Jesus himself. Reminds me of the illustration that they give of a frog. When you put a frog in a pot and put it on a stove, you switch on that stove, the frog will be okay. As the water starts to heat up, the frog will get comfortable and think, oh, maybe it's just the change in temperature. And over time, as the water starts to boil, this frog doesn't know that I'm actually settling into my death. And before you know it, the water starts to boil and the frog dies. Why? Because it was too comfortable in the environment that it's in. Maybe sometimes we're getting too comfortable in our regrets. Maybe we're getting too comfortable in our guilt. Maybe we're getting too comfortable in our sin, that we don't realize that this environment that we're in is not where God intended us for us to be. Yes, you're coming as you are, but God doesn't want you to remain there. And that's why the series is saying, embracing where you are, but we're also trusting God for healing. We're embracing that we're in a broken state. We're embracing that we're weak, yes. We're embracing that we've got so many flaws, but God is there to offer us healing. Maybe it's time for us to take that step of not just confessing, repenting, and also seeking help. The story of the prodigal son is one of the best examples of this. The prodigal son went to his father and said, "Dad, I want everything that's mine." The father gave him everything. He went out and partied everything that he had and then ended up living with the pigs. And while he was there, he said, "Surely, surely this can't be it. Because I know for a fact that the workers in my father's house are living in far much better conditions than I am right now. They're living in far much better conditions than I am right now. Maybe it's time for me to return back to my father." And as he did that, as he was at a distance, his father saw the son coming back to him. The father opened his arms wide and was running to his son. And he embraced him, because knowing that this is my son who was lost, but now is back. Maybe that is what we need to do right now. Maybe it's time for us to turn back from our sins, repent of our wrongs, and run back to the Father. Maybe that is what God is calling us to do. Maybe God is trying to say, yes, we are weak people growing together, but he just doesn't want weak people to just remain weak. Maybe God is trying to help us to say, come back to me and I'll offer you healing. Maybe this is our time to present our guilt, to present our regret back to Jesus and trust him, knowing that he is the one who can offer our healing. As I close, I want us to reflect on a few things. Most of the times we find ourselves wallowing in self-pity, or maybe just thinking that people owe us an apology, but maybe that hurt or guilt is blocking us from experiencing fully what God has for our hearts. So I want us to reflect on if there's something, if there's any guilt or any regret that you're holding on to, let us reflect on that. And as we reflect on that guilt and hurt or regret, I want us to pray over that. Because it's one thing confessing that guilt or that regret is there, and it's another thing presenting it to God and trusting him, knowing that he can heal us from that guilt and regret. So as the worship band is coming up, I want us to take some time to pray over this. So what guilt or what regret are you holding on to? And how can you trust God to heal you from that? And we have prayer counselors on the side. You can go. You can go and I'll pray with you and pray for you, because it is fully human for us to be broken. It is fully human for us to be hurting. It is fully human for us to feel some sort of guilt and regret. But God doesn't want you to remain there. God doesn't want you to stay in that guilt, in that hurt. God wants to release you from that, because Jesus Christ died for you so that you can be freed from that. You can be freed from the hurt. You can be freed from the guilt, and you can be freed from the regret. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness upon us, oh God. Thank you for, we know that you, Jesus, are the only one who can set us free from any shame, any guilt, or any regret. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that in this time, may we present any guilt, any regret, or any pain that we are facing into your hands. Because we know you and only you are the one who can heal us. And we are trusting you for healing, oh God. And it's in your name that I pray, Jesus.